I'm a groundskeeper for Witching Hour Park. Crazy things happen between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. At least, that's what I call it, because that's technically when my shift begins, according to my boss, Mr. Barnes. Its official name really doesn't matter. I usually come significantly earlier than that, so that I can finish the work early and head out. When I first started this job, many months ago, I tried debating this point with Mr. Barnes. I told him it didn't really make sense for me to come in that late. Why not come in a few hours before? Mr. Barnes wasn't really flexible on the issue at all. Really weird. But the guy I work with, Evan, he's pretty cool, said not to worry about it. I had the same problem with the old man. Keep in mind, he's pushing 80. Don't question why he does things. Just do them anyway. So don't mind him. Come in whenever you want. As long as Mr. Barnes has left the grounds, you're good. Mr. Barnes would typically leave around 11:30, based on what Evan said. But I always chose to come in a bit later than that. A little after 1, usually. The job actually started out really easy, and I enjoyed it for the most part. Except, everything was really creepy at that time of night, and the park was way, way out in the middle of nowhere. Anything could be walking in the woods beyond. But even Evan knew how to make the job fun. He said this was his 3rd year on the job. During that time, he figured out how to make the most of it. Brought his radio, and it was usually pretty good at picking up nearby stations. He never failed to bring a pack of cigarettes and would offer me one without hesitation. Being out there, hearing the crickets, and looking at the nearly infinite expanse of the night, I found myself grateful for the glowing ends of our cigarettes. Any additional source of lights was appreciated. The time I really looked forward to happened right after our shift started. Like I said, Evan knew how to make the most out of this job, and he'd bring a huge bag of marshmallows. He'd already have the sticks gathered by the time I arrived, the fire lit. We'd sit by the huge creek, and I'd watch the moon reflect gently off the rippling water as Evan began to tell me one of his creepy park stories. They were fairly generic, but I often enjoyed them. "You're not listening," Evan said, and my attention snapped back to him. He flicked his cigarette ashes into the fire, which hungrily devoured it. Evan smiled. "I can't believe you're not paying attention to probably the most important story I can tell you. This isn't just for entertainment either, Miles. Might end up saving your life." Evan gave me a wicked grin. It looked playful at first, but as the fire crackled in his excited eyes, fear creeped along the edges of my mind. This was an important story. Even Mr. Barnes doesn't know about this. He thought the old man quit. But nah, something happened to Wayne. Dude was pretty chill for a vet. I mean, he claimed to be a vet, but he was honestly pretty vague about the war stories. I'd ask him, he'd deflect, you know. Maybe he preferred to keep it private. "So, what happened to him?" I asked. Evan smiled again. "Don't make me rush this," he said. "You know I don't like to rush my stories. I like to get them just right." Evan was correct about that. We'd often waste an hour or more getting through one of Evan's stories. That's what I liked about them. They were long and detailed, and I'd often forget the creepy darkness waiting just beyond the fire. The radio briefly became consumed with static, and Evan turned it down. He didn't like to be distracted while telling his stories, said it made him forget his place. Okay, so where was I? Evan's expression went blank. Then the fire crackled and popped, and the vacant expression in his eyes, seeming to stir his thoughts. Right, so the thing that always ticked me off about Mr. Barnes is he would constantly hire people only in his peer group. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. It's just Mr. Barnes would only give them the green light. For a long time, I couldn't figure out why he hired me. Maybe someone had to take orders from the elders Mr. Barnes kept hiring. Evan had a sort of bitter expression on his face, and I couldn't help but be slightly amused. It also made me wonder why Mr. Barnes hired me too. I thought about the amount of work we had to do each night. It wasn't really a ton of work. Certainly not enough for the two of us. I didn't mind. Gave us a generous amount of slacking off time. "Sorry for that little detour, man. It's just that Mr. Barnes really ticks me off sometimes. Anyway, so this Wayne guy starts. First day, tries to boss me around, which wasn't the worst part. He was pretty weird too, talking about how he didn't want to work at night, that he was too old for this. Complained about nearly everything, still managed to boss me around between complaints about this or that. Evan stopped talking for a minute. There had been a flopping sound in the water. The sound was noticeable enough that it didn't seem likely that the source was a fish, but not large enough to prompt both of us to get up and move away from the fire. It would take a lot for that to happen in the middle of one of Evan's stories. I always got the distinct impression that even he creeped himself out with telling them. Evan lit another cigarette, took a puff, and exhaled the smoke slowly, as if he was trying to soothe himself. But it was the other stuff that Wayne talked about how we were working during the witching hour. Spirits might get us if we wandered too close to the creek, or demons, or whatever. Evan rolled his eyes. They became fearful again, as if suddenly remembering something. Wayne was really getting on my nerves at that point, so I told him to go clear the sticks on the long hill leading from the park house over there. I'm not sure why he listened, since it seemed clear he thought of himself as the boss. He kind of mumbled, like he was confused or something. Anyway, I started clearing out the trash cans near the bathrooms. Occupy myself, you know, because I'm a good worker. Don't like to slack off. Evan grinned at me, but it seemed a little disturbing due to the direction of the story and because of the atmosphere of the park that night. I just got done unloading the trash when I heard, like, this choked scream. I ran down to the creek just in time to see Wayne's hand poking up from the water, Evan said, voice rising, eyes filled with crackling fear. This had really happened, I thought. Wayne, I thought I wouldn't see his hand again. Actually, it didn't emerge from the water for several minutes, and just as I was about to turn away, the hand came up, shaking. So, I grabbed his hand, almost fell in myself. Wayne's hand kept fumbling, grabbing tightly and yanking, like he was trying to pull me in. The radio gave a weird belch of static, and Evan quickly turned it down. Strangely, I thought I could hear odd guttural voices coming from the radio. I couldn't be sure though. So, Wayne died? I asked, almost breathless, feeling like how I imagined Wayne felt as he was drowning. No oxygen. Yeah, he died, but he also tried to pull me in. He wasn't desperate to be saved. He wanted to pull me in, man. Sometimes I still wonder if that was his hand or the thing which pulled him under. And I don't know what creeps me out more, thinking about Wayne's body at the bottom of the creek or the thing responsible for it. Evan stood up then, brushing off his work pants, just baggy black jeans basically. He tossed the remainder of the cigarette into the fire and lit another one. He said he didn't want to be by the creek anymore, that he didn't like telling the story. In fact, I had been the first person he told the story to. I heard a flopping sound coming from maybe a couple dozen feet from where Evan was standing. After that, I didn't argue with him about going up to the park house to do some maintenance. Getting away from that water seemed like the smart idea, but it confused me that after that experience, Evan would choose to come down here every night and start a fire. Evan was sweeping sticks off the cement floor of the park house, but stopping every few minutes to check his phone. I had to suppress some laughter when I thought about how he said he didn't like to slack off. Looking around, I was grateful for the two large flashlights, one placed on each of the outer tables, but facing in. This seemed to give us the most amount of light. I had so many questions for Evan, I thought, as I pulled out the second large trash bag from its can. My nose wrinkled at the prospect of having to remove the garbage from the bathrooms. But why would Evan choose to be down by the creek after such a harrowing experience? Then I wondered about all the other workers who Mr. Barnes hired. Evan said consistently hired, so there had been quite a few elderly folk out here in the park at night. Was Wayne the only one to be pulled into the creek? Did the others just walk off the job? All of them? I found that to be unlikely. My thoughts returned to Evan, about how maybe he wanted to sit near the creek out of guilt because he didn't get to Wayne in time. He felt responsible for his death. Except there was no evidence of guilt on Evan's face as he told the story, even at the end. So there had to be a different reason. When I turned around, I had planned on asking his willingness to sit by the creek despite his horrible experience near it, but Evan wasn't anywhere near the park house. I called his name once, and the second time, it came out more meekly. I was afraid then. Shortly after telling the story, Evan just disappeared. I went to the edge of the park house, shoes still on the cement. For some odd reason, I thought that would somehow protect me from the dangers lurking beyond. Then my thoughts became frantic. What if the creature Evan talked about in his story snatched him when I wasn't looking? And if it had done so, that meant it could sneak up on me at any time without me being aware. Suddenly, I didn't feel safe at all. Maybe it wasn't a bad idea to put some distance between myself and the area where I had last glimpsed Evan. I took one of the flashlights and shook it, checking to make sure the lights wouldn't flicker. I walked to the edge of the hill, shining the flashlight down toward the creek. Nothing but the sound of crickets and the creeping of the mist along the surface of the water. I shivered. "What the hell took you and Wayne?" I said to myself. I contemplated just getting in my car and leaving. It sat as a hulking piece of red metal in a small gravel parking lot far away from the park house. Too far away. I turned my flashlight toward the creek again, and this time I saw a vague shape just standing there. As much as I wanted to run down the hill since I thought it might be Evan, I couldn't because it had started to rain. Nothing too heavy, but despite that, I didn't want to chance hurrying down the hill and slipping and tumbling all the way down. I slowly made my way down the hill. The vague shape didn't seem to be moving at all, or at least not with any consistent forward motion. It would sort of lurch forward, and I thought a few times it would fall into the creek, but it would always snap back. I called out Evan's name a few times. No response from it, but intuitively, I knew it was Evan. Toward the end, I was so anxious to confirm this that I slid and fell a few feet to the bottom. It took several moments, but I finally got back on my feet and practically ran to the shape. It was indeed Evan. I couldn't concentrate on his swaying because the radio he had placed near the fire on an old tree stump emitted harsh, staticky sounds, and the guttural voices occurred at a much more rapid pace. I swore I heard what sounded like gurgling. It was harsh on my ears, also making me a little frightened. I quickly switched the radio off, then ran back to Evan. I had to shake him several times before he apparently snapped out of it. He couldn't remember walking down to the creek, and he was in such a daze I didn't even bother asking the question which was on my mind. There was a splashing sound some inches from the creek's edge. Small and harmless enough at first, but it made me jump. Evan became more clear-eyed when both of us glimpsed. I'm not quite sure what we saw. It seemed like a hand at first, distinctly human, but another glance revealed it to be too bony and arched. I swear, I thought I saw claws, reflecting the thin sliver of moonlight which managed to poke through the clouds. Evan and I both ran to the park house, an exchange of words not even necessary. The rest of the night passed without incident. I'm not sure why we stayed, except traveling up the hill leading out of the park to the gravel parking lot seemed like a fool's errand. Evan seemed wide-eyed, with brief periods of lucidity. I had to keep shaking him back to reality. At about 4 a.m, Evan stabilized almost completely. In his clear-headed state, he suggested we remain under the roof of the park house until the sun was completely visible in the sky. I did agree, and like I said, walking to our cars seemed ill-advised. Evan and I rarely talk about that night, but when we do, It's never near the creek.